This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Celtics are graduating to game two tonight against the Knicks, but that game one, we just can't quite put to bed until at least tip off tonight. And Teddy, you were first on this. Tim Legler, longtime NBA player, now NBA analyst, a shooter, also a three-point champion. So a guy who doesn't like me. I hate the three-point shot. I don't know if I've ever shared it with you. I would remove it from the game of basketball. I do not want it. Take the line away. Scrape it off every court in America. No more three-point shots. I would love that. They're not going to do that. And I don't think Tim Legler is an advocate for that. I think he likes the three-point shot within reason, or when it's within the confines of good basketball. This audio, and as I said, coming into it, was about 4 minutes, so we're going to have Stiz start and stop this. So any one of us, if something piques your interest or you want to react to it, we'll stop Tim Legler. But here's Tim Legler's reaction to the Celtics' performance the other night that included a record 60 threes and a record 45 missed threes.
Listen, man, what the Boston Celtics did last night was an insult to basketball, in my opinion, man. That's an abomination. An abomination offensively to play the way they played. And look, if people are going to sit there, well, that's how they play all the time, man. Live, shoot, live by the three, die by the three. What are you talking about? Watch the game.
Okay,
stop. I don't care how.
I do watch the games, Tim.
Okay.
And I'm not going to use your little voice, even though I am a fan of using that type of a little voice. I actually appreciate your effort there.
What's the little voice?
Watch the games, or the little ranting voice. He did it. I like it. Appreciate it. But you do sound like someone, Tim, who hasn't watched a lot of Celtics basketball, because they are going to jack up. I watched them play the Knicks, I believe, on opening night when they jacked up 60-something threes and they went for the record. Mm-hmm. Now, unfortunately, they couldn't get the record because they kept missing one after another.
They missed a bunch.
Another. Yeah. And then it got uncomfortable. It was awkward.
Did you hear in one quarter they missed 19 out of 20?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, there's a lot of misses. But Tim Legler, you kind of... You went against your own point there. This is how the Celtics want to play under Joe Mazzulla. This is how the Celtics played last year, and I'm not sure if you paid attention, Tim Legler, but they won a very important game, game four, or the fourth win in the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. They put a banner up for it. They got a parade. They got some rings. They got all of those things. This is Celtics basketball. Love it or leave it. That's what I would say about this. Is that fair?
Well, he does watch a lot of basketball. I'm pretty sure he watched a couple few games over the year.
So when was he? I haven't heard him rant about the Celtics shooting threes and victories. It was weird.
It is, and that would be the natural comeback. You look at the Celtics are having 84% winning percentage when they shoot more than when their you know 3-point efficiency is 30% or better. So they got to at least get 30% or better. And they almost win every game. So it is a hard thing to kind of argue against. But other than the biggest argument and to support maybe Legler's point is playoff basketball is so different than the regular season, right? And so they look, but Ted, they won it their way doing it last year.
Mm.
Yeah, but you know what? Now teams are know what their formula is, and they're going to be defending you better. So you got to have a counter move. To just think that you can do it the same way all the time in the regular season and in the playoffs and do it the same way in the last year's playoffs as you're doing in this year's playoffs, I think is a little bit naive.
I couldn't agree more, and I believe actually Mr. Legler touches on the notion of this wide open versus uncontested shots, if you will, Andy.
Roll it, Stiz.
I don't care how many they listed. First of all, I know this for a fact because I've dived into this. The way the league or statisticians or people at the game that are doing the stats label contested, uncontested shots, I've got a massive disagreement about.
All right, stop for a second.
That's interesting.
So I do like this part.
I hate this stat. This is such a dumb stat.
I like this part of this argument because I do this all the time in football. I fight the numbers because I'll see this, you know, so-and-so had zero drops in 16 games last year. And I'm like, no, I watched a game and he had a drop.
Yep.
So these analysts, these quants, these deep dive analytics where people just trumpet them and we do it. I have to say we're guilty. We'll see a number. Oh, they said they missed wide open threes at this rate and half open threes at this rate. I usually disagree with what people are assessing as open, wide open, a drop, not a drop, an accurate pass, whatever sport you want to do it. So I like that he's pushing back here with sort of his eyeball test against the number.
And I'll say one more thing to back that up. So, you know, a lot of people argue they might have had uncontested shots. Yeah, and they miss a lot of uncontested. But how many of them do there's a stat for rushed shots? Shots that are rushed. They might be uncontested, but a lot of them were rushed.
Roll it, Stiz.
I've already looked at it in Second Spectrum because you pull up information and like you're like, wait a second, that's not an uncontested shot, whatever. So there's a big number of uncontested shots, and that's what the Celtics contingent and people that love the Celtics or that defend the Celtics are going to say today. Well, they're all uncontested threes. My ass. I wrote them all down. They were not. Here's the thing, too. There's a difference between what you might even think is an uncontested shot and a rushed shot. You can still have an uncontested shot that's rushed. What I didn't understand was why were the Celtics playing as if for literally an entire 18-minute stretch, they played offense like there was 3 seconds left in the game. Every guy that caught the ball.
So it wasn't just like it was 3 seconds left in the game. It was like they didn't realize they had a 20-point lead. That's the other fact. They played with a 20-point lead like that wasn't, you know, I keep saying the word, stealing from situational basketball. I don't play all the time.
Too early in the shot clock.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was the biggest thing that bothered me, Ted.
The pace.
There was no awareness, and that's why you blamed it on Joe Mazzulla. The voters in our poll yesterday blamed it on Joe Mazzulla. I think it was 54% of voters said they put the biggest blame, because it's one thing to say Jason Tatum isn't shooting well or Jason Tatum isn't doing this, Jaylen Brown isn't doing that, whatever you want to. Joe Mazzulla, I've seen those mic'd up segments, call a timeout and set the tone that you want set. All right, let's work the clock here. Let's do the whatever message you want to send. And it's like he never did that. It's like he never took the situation into consideration and imparted that on his team.
What's scary is that even after the game, he didn't second guess any of his decisions. And that's the scary part. Is like maybe after the game, you go, you know what, I could have, or own up to some of maybe a mistake. No, in his mind, he didn't do anything wrong from a coaching standpoint in that game. If you listen to him after the game the other night.
And it's funny, we come at Joe Mazzulla in this discussion of the Celtics game plan for game one, coming off of Bill Belichick. Because comps are made between the two of them, like, oh, that attitude works real well when they win, and it's awfully grating when they lose, isn't it?
Joe's a big, big, big fan of Bill Belichick. So,
oh, yeah.
Indeed.
He looks up to him.
Rhode Island boy. New England boy. He's been around for a lot of this with you and the rest of the Patriots. Roll it, Stiz.
That's what I was trying to figure out. What the hell is the hurry? And guess what? It wasn't just Tatum, although, man, was he bad last night. You can't play that way offensively while this lead's slipping away without figuring out a way to get to a mid-range jumper, a something at the rim, or free throws. It's embarrassing.
Stop it, sis. Real quick, what do you guys think about Jason Tatum? Kind of, I mean, if he doesn't like the way the offense is, he has a say in this, doesn't he?
Correct.
Don't you think the best player on the team could go to Joe or just do it himself and say, hey, you know what, we're jacking up a lot of threes, and everybody talks about, you know, his IQ and how, and I think he is a smart basketball player. Sure. I see it, but you know, he also should maybe be the flag carrier for changing how you play in the middle of the game. It shouldn't just maybe be Joe Mazzulla. It should be like Tatum going to the coach, going, "Hey man, maybe we need to work some of the ball inside. Maybe we need to do some ISO. Maybe we need to take care of some mismatches in coverage and get easy buckets in the paint." And I haven't heard him doing that either. So
I think he likes shooting threes. I think he likes little sidestep threes, step back threes.
Tatum?
James Harden. Absolutely. And that's why in my 3-point stance today, I didn't put it on Tatum. Because I don't think he inherently wants to play differently. I think Jaylen Brown does. And I think if Jaylen Brown does that, then it can kind of snowball and pull the entirety of the other four on the court in a different direction.
Like, it's a delicate ecosystem.
Yes.
Very delicate. And they, you know, got away with it last year. You just wonder if doing their way of doing things, okay, eventually, like, people find codes to break them.
And even with all that, though, their way of doing things that we may not like or we may disagree with and Tim Legler may say is stupid and bad basketball and abomination, if they hit one or two threes out of those 45 that they missed, we're not really having this conversation. We're like, you whistle past the graveyard, right? You're up 1-0, you go on to the next one. Nah, not our best game. Hopefully we'll shoot better, but whatever, we're up 1-0. So we're really discussing it because they lost, not just because they missed shots, but they missed shots that cost them the game.
But the formula, the blueprint, or at least how we all think they should have logically gone about winning the game in the third quarter, you know, you had foul trouble. You had Kat and Jalen Brunson, each with three fouls at halftime. You didn't go after them. You didn't try to get them in more foul trouble. Ted, you didn't drain the clock. It was just dup, dup, dup. 3-point, hooray! It was infuriating to watch.
That's why I don't think the Celtics and Jason Tatum at the end of the day get the respect they want. It's games like that that kind of – where it's a national topic,
Tatum,
about how they played. Yes, in the third,
I think mostly Tatum.
Mostly Tatum,
because solid, it's a star league.
It's mostly Tatum,
and you know, Anthony Edwards is going to face the same issues. He's facing questions how he carried himself, his coach calling him out. When you're the star, you're going to get a lot of the credit when you win, but you're also going to get the blame when it goes bad. And I think that's part of it.
That's it, man.
People look at this game one and say,
and a lot of people don't want to say it, I think, but if you're settling, they use the word settling in for threes.
Yeah.
What does that mean? That means it's the easiest shot to take. It's lazy basketball. It's not working for, you know, position in the paint and trying to get moves. And, you know, it's just you got to exert more physical exertion when you're trying to work the ball inside in the paint as opposed to just catching the ball and hucking it.
And there were a lot of pull-up threes. Some of the numbers that were expanded in that area. This wasn't the traditional, because they can shoot threes in different ways.
They weren't catching shoots.
Right. Where it's pass, 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 open man, catch and shoot. Yep. These were like ISO one-on-one. Oh, I'll settle for a pull-up three.
That's such a great point.
Not their game.
Only 18 assists in that game the other night. You need at least over 20, if not over 25, to really have your offense popping.
No backdoor cuts, no pick and roll, nothing.
Nothing like that.
Hey, here's the ball.
Nothing like they did in the first series against the Orlando Magic.
Because they felt like they didn't have to. They thought they could just shoot it, outscore it. We'll put up a $120, a $130, and we'll win this game going away because we're better than them. Roll it, Stiz.
But it's not just him. I actually have a bigger problem, Adam, with Al Horford and Drew Holiday. In particular, those two guys. Who the hell do they think they're Klay Thompson shooting balls? The ball's coming to him in a corner off with 19 seconds on the shot clock and a guy draped all over them, and they're letting it fly with no offensive rebounding positioning at all? Are you kidding me? You tailor-made the environment for the Knicks to do what they did to you. This is on the Celtics.
Stop it right there. All right, Tim, and that's something we brought up yesterday. You were a willing victim, a willing foe. Like, I don't want to take it all away from the Knicks, but you set up, as Tim Legler puts it, the environment for the Knicks to come back and smell blood and give them confidence and not put them away. And not, we were talking about it, Fitzy. If you go 2 for 3 in the other direction, you score 2. So I'm up 20, so I go up 22. They hit a 3. I'm up 19. So I hit a 2, 21. They hit a 3. Okay, now I'm up 18. I still got a really nice – I can play the 2 for 3 game all night long before I blow a 20-point lead, right?
It would take them a million – like
that's 20 back-and-forth possessions.
Several quarters to bleed you out in that capacity.
Right, and it's probably not going to happen. And if you want to, then mix in a couple threes. So Tim Legler's right. You gave them the opportunity. So 617-779-7937. Let's mix in some reactions to the Celtics. Oh, what is this? We're going right to line one. Eric and Chicopee. I don't care for your subject here. Jaylen Brown's vibe sucks. What does that mean? Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't disagree with everything that you're saying, but I'm watching the game, and the whole body language of Jaylen Brown is, I'm hurt, but I'm out here. I'm hurt, but I'm out here. His whole vibe is, I'm hurt, but, you know, I'm at least on the court. And to me, that is not sufficient. And he's got to be giving the impression to his teammates to don't give me the ball, and they got to be feeling the pressure. If you're hurt, Jalen, sit on the bench or get out there and play like you're really going to play. Because to me, it's really annoying to watch this whole vibe that he's given off. Like, we get it. You have an injury. We get it. You took a shot. We understand it. But to me, you got to get out there and play.
All right. Thanks for the call, Eric.
I love it. Eric's right.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, Eric.
Do.
Well,
and
done.
You think he's putting off some sort of vibe?
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if he is. I see maybe some of that. But I think that's kind of who he is. I think that's why that's why he told us about it, and that's why he says, "No, it's just a pain thing. I'll manage it. I'll be fine. I don't want to talk about it," but he keeps talking about it, kind of thing. I think that is Jalen Brown a little bit. I absolutely do. So I'm a big body language guy. I'll watch that a little bit more closely. But would that surprise me one bit? No way would that support me, because I think that's just. I think JB's always felt underappreciated, and he's always, I think, trying to leverage a situation to maybe get credit. You know, if Jalen Brown's knee is really an issue and teams can wear down and have an answer for Jason Tatum, it's not the craziest thing in the world to think that the Celtics could get bounced.
If that's true. Yeah, that could absolutely happen.
You heard Kendrick.
And KP doesn't, you know, I don't know. He's
like, who knows?
He's getting sick.
He doesn't show up. He was useless the other night. Yeah, he was blank. Yes, he was. He was blanks on a bull.
Absolutely.
And let me just add one
bad
more thing
blanks.
That's interesting. Is like we're in the last two playoffs seasons where Jalen and JB rank as far as three-point efficiency. Jalen Brown ranks 53rd in the NBA in three-point efficiency in the playoffs. And Jason Tatum ranks 58th. Mm-hmm. They are terrible three-point shooters in the playoffs, yet the whole team in philosophy is built around shooting threes.
Correct.
And the two stars are terrible at shooting.
Jason Tatum was just a bad shooter last postseason. We heard he fixed that and cleared that up in the beginning of the year. I think the air around Jalen Brown is, A, I don't think he wants to shoot as many threes. I said that to you yesterday. And B, I don't think he's ever all in on this approach to the game. Mm-hmm. This five out, we're going to shoot threes. Remember a couple of years ago, he was supposedly early on in the Missoula tenure, they'd end a huddle and 1, 2, 3, and everybody else would say like Celtics, and he would say defense. He wouldn't even say the same word that they were saying because he believes in other things. I don't think
he is in lockstep. Why did he re-sign here? Yeah. Honestly.
Because he was going to get the most money.
Cha and Ching.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every couple of months, weeks, whatever, it seems like there's a new something that would lead you to think, well, wouldn't you be happy elsewhere?
Yeah. I think he'd be happier in a different system for a different coach with a different team.
He'd
be a better player.
He wouldn't have made nearly as much money.
Nope. And that's it. He's smart. He's a businessman. He's a really smart guy. He knows he can do more with the shoes and everything.
You're right. He's built mentally, physically, in a way that just doesn't fit the scheme for what they're trying to do. No, it's a very good observation.